live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, the 1 millionth dose of COVID-19 vaccine has been administered in Ireland today. Britain's Northern Ireland Secretary is travelling to Belfast for talks about recent violence in the north. The PSNI says it will continue to monitor social media for future violent demonstrations being organised. And serious concern has been raised over the cross-border directive, where a significant number of people in Donegal have been affected. And Kenny Harkin will be here with the latest in sport at around 5:15. But first in news, the 1 millionth dose of COVID-19 vaccine has been administered in Ireland today. The HSE has also confirmed between 180 and 190,000 doses will be given across the country next week. But it'll be late this month or early next month before 250,000 jabs are being administered on a weekly basis. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says the programme will ramp up next week.
We'll continue our focus over next week on the over 70s, and secondly on the 80 to 84s we'll largely be completing the second dose for that age group. We'll also be administering vaccines to the high individual risk groups, so a total of between 180 and 190,000 looking at in a range for next week.
Britain's Northern Ireland Secretary is travelling to Belfast for talks about the recent violence in the north. The PSNI says it will continue to monitor social media for future violent demonstrations being organised. It comes as 55 officers needed treatment for injuries sustained as a result of riots across the north in the last number of days. PSNI Assistant Chief Constable Jonathan Roberts says they haven't seen violence of this scale in many years.
We will continue to endeavour to protect the community, and we are aware of other events, protests that might be planned in the coming days that are on social media, for example, and we will continue to monitor those and we will respond accordingly.
A Donegal senator says there needs to be more done from the north and there needs to be more north and south dialogue about identity as part of a process to address the ongoing tension in loyalist areas. Senator Niall Blaney is a member of the Oireachtas Good Friday Committee and Fianna Fáil spokesperson on Northern Ireland in the Shannon. He says Taoiseach Micheál Martin is committed to doing what he can, but believes more can be done at community level on both sides of the border. Senator Blaney believes the discussion needs to focus on identity.
I do hope engagement with Stormont is positive, and that's I can have a name-calling exercise. It's really important that people stand up as leaders. You can be a leader for your community without having a go. Something that was so long and protracted, the whole Brexit process, it even took out a UK Prime Minister. There were so many proposals put and then scrapped and started again. But this final protocol is as a result of negotiations that was designed as much in the UK as it was in the EU. We didn't have a part to play other than to pass it when it was agreed by both. And it's an international agreement. It hasn't just been signed up by us, the UK. It's all the other member EU states have signed up to it as well as part of that EU process. But it has created difficulties. And I know that unionism feels let down by it. But we weren't responsible for Brexit. The UK government was. But I just say, this won't be resolved by talking at each other. We need to start sitting down and talk to each other. And it's only in doing that I think we can find a way forward.
The junior minister for disability has ordered the HSE to stop removing specialists from special schools. It's after some schools were informed they were to lose their on-site provisions, such as speech and language therapy. Casey O'Riordan reports.
They didn't stop to think, and it's, I feel like, collateral damage.
Trina Fitzgerald, principal of St Columba's National School with facility for deaf children in Cork, speaking about how the rollout of the HSE's Progressing Disability Services programme was resulting in their on-site speech and language therapist being removed. The on-site therapist knows sign language and can update teachers on what each student is working on. Parent Therese McGrath says the system has been seamless.
That has benefited my son to an extraordinary amount. No, it really has.
But the new programme meant children would no longer receive therapy hand in hand with their education and would have to attend appointments in the community. Junior Disability Minister Anne Rabbitt has ordered the programme rollout to be paused.
Pause possibly is the word I would use for the overarch of PDS today. But I will not be removing specialists from special schools.
The Department of Health and the HSE will now work together to find a way to roll out the programme without redeploying specialists out of special schools.
Serious concern has been raised over the cross-border directive. The initiative allows people in the likes of Donegal to avail of hospital procedures in the north. However, it's understood that there are issues with the alignment of codes, with some people signing up for the directive losing thousands as a result. A significant number of people in Donegal have been affected. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says while the directive is a positive initiative, people need to be very careful and ultimately the health minister must intervene to resolve the issue as a matter of urgency.
Number one, I have to say to people who are availing of the scheme to be very careful. Whoever you're dealing with in the private hospitals in the north, or indeed it could be anywhere in the European Union, if you have commenced treatment across the water in Britain, you can continue. That if you commence treatment before this year, you can continue to see that through. But that will end very soon. So it's within the north of Ireland and the European Union. I would say to people, talk to the relevant consultants, make sure that this code is absolutely in line with the HSE list. You're advised to get pre-authorization if it's overnight or if it's going to be a costly number of days from the HSE. Just make sure you've got everything lined up, double check it. That's the first thing. The second thing is the minister has to review the scheme. I mean, I've come across cases in my office and we are exasperated about this in that we are contacting the HSE. We would have expected that common sense would prevail. I mean, clearly you can see, that the particular procedure aligns to a particular code, that a genuine mistake was made. And for the life of me, I can't understand why the number of cases that I have had have not been resolved. Indeed, in all of the cases I'm thinking of, they've cost people thousands of euro. And I feel very aggrieved for the people involved. I think they've done no wrong and they should have been compensated.
It's emerged that a number of COVID-19 vaccines due to be given to people in Letterkenny had to be destroyed due to a technical issue. The incident happened on Wednesday, the 24th of March, at Cleary House, a facility for mental health service users in the town. Michaela Clark has more.
In a statement, the HSE Community Healthcare Organisation Area 1 confirmed that there is a non-clinical incident involving 10 vials of vaccine. This was due to a technical issue with the fridge at the facility, resulting in the vials being unfit for use. The HSE says it's regrettable that this incident has taken place, but it's important to note that all 33 service users scheduled for the clinic still received their vaccine and that this incident did not impact on them. Residents from other mental health supervised residential units in Donegal Town, Carndonagh and Dunloe have received their vaccination in line with the scheduled vaccination programme. An incident report has been completed with the HSE concluding that all necessary processes will be followed to ensure there is no reoccurrence.
A group representing the Irish car parking industry has defended the fees charged at hospital car parks. It comes as latest figures show the HSE took in 5.2 million euro from car park fees and clamping charges from 13 of its hospitals last year. The HSE received almost 15,000 euro in income from Letterkenny University Hospital car park. Chairman of the Irish Parking Association, Keith Gavin, says fees deter non-patients from parking in hospitals.
The whole reason for charging at a hospital is, number one, to deter people using the hospital car park as a free park and ride to visit other facilities in the vicinity. Number two is to manage the scarce resource. So parking at in a hospital environment is generally limited, and there's more demand than supply.
It's been confirmed that Donegal County Council has taken ownership of 8 two-bed apartments in Dunfanaghy. The council's housing engineer will carry out checks on the premises over the next few days, with the hopes that they will be in the position to do lettings next week. Local councillor Micheál Colm-Glasbog says this is encouraging news, but there is still a long way to go in solving the housing crisis in Donegal.
Yeah, look, this is certainly encouraging news. Anywhere that there's property being available for those individuals or families who are very much in need, it's certainly encouraging and welcoming. But at the end of the day, there's a huge issue within Donegal in terms of our housing. The government is not investing properly into our council to allow us to build the much-needed homes that are needed. I'm working with people who are homeless, not just individuals, but family, people with children who are homeless, children who are sleeping on different couches and floors of different houses every night, and that's not acceptable. We have thousands and thousands of children who are homeless in the 26 counties, and the government is absolutely failing them. I put a question to Donegal County Council at our last meeting, a question why Housing Construction Department or section within the council isn't attending our municipal district meetings. And to be honest, all I got back was waffle. And it's not acceptable at a time when housing is one of the biggest needs, one of the biggest things that are facing our community, that we're not all sitting down together at the one room and working towards delivering the housing need that we have in the area. The government has consistently failed us on this here.
Credit card companies have been accused of exploiting Brexit, with fears that it could in turn impact the hospitality sector in Donegal. A potential move by companies would see an increase in transaction fees on purchases from EU-based companies. If it goes ahead, people in the north could end up paying more for the likes of hotels and events in the south. Foyle MLA Martina Anderson says the Northern Ireland market is crucial to hospitality in Donegal, and if this move is allowed to proceed, it could deter people from holidaying in the Republic.
This move would see money going into the big banks and global corporations like big credit card companies, while ordinary people and small businesses pay the price for it. We know in Derry and Donegal how interconnected we are. We have a Northwest City region. We work collaboratively and work together very, very well. And to think that credit card companies are going to exploit Brexit in this way is absolutely ridiculous. It's unacceptable.
And the Northern Ireland market is crucial to the likes of the Donegal hospitality sector. Like, do you foresee this maybe deterring people from Northern Ireland visiting the south?
Well, I mean, obviously the cost incurred in going to the south, if that's going to increase as a consequence of this credit card rip-off, then people are, at this moment in time, they're struggling anyway financially. So they're going to have to incur additional costs by going to, say, for instance, Donegal or anywhere else further afield. So they're going to have to calculate, can they afford that? And, you know, that is going to be a deterrent. What we want to do is to see the all-Ireland economy, to see people working and living and enjoying all that Ireland has to offer across the 32 counties of Ireland. And, you know, workers and families and businesses shouldn't be paying the price for this. And it is outrageous that credit card companies would cynically exploit Brexit. We know the damage that Brexit has done anyway to the island of Ireland.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
And we cross over to sport now with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We'll start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA has confirmed that the Alliance Hurling Leagues will kickstart the Association's roadmap on the second weekend on May. Joining us is Oisin Kelly, who has more.
Well, Kenny, the football leagues commence a week later on the 15th and 16th of May. Donegal and Tyrone will be grouped with Monaghan and Armagh in a regionalised league format, with the league final penciled in for the 19th and 20th of June. The Ulster and Provincial Championships will begin the following weekend, which is the last weekend in June, with the Ulster final marked for the weekend of the 31st of July, 1st of August. Championship will be straight knockout again in 2021, with no qualifiers and the Tailteann Cup on hold. The All-Ireland Football Final will be played on the weekend of the 28th, 29th of August. Neither London nor New York will be involved in the championship this year. No return date has been given for collective minor or under 20 inter-county training, as the current exemption only relates to senior level. The club championships will then start the first weekend in September. After a year absence due to the pandemic, the provincial club championships have been marked with a 20th of November return, and the All-Ireland club finals to be played in February 2020. A decision on the return to training for club football in the 26 counties will not be made until the go-ahead has been given by the government, which again still has last year's Donegal senior final in limbo on when the decider can be played. The National Hurling League start for the North West Counties also in the second half of May, while in the Championship, Donegal will defend their Nicky Rackard title this year. The final for that competition, which also includes Tyrone, is Sunday the 1st of August. That's the same weekend for the Christy Ring Cup final, which Derry will hope to play in.
Thanks to Oisin Kelly. Meanwhile, sticking with GAA, Monaghan say football manager Seamus McEnany has apologised for a serious error of judgement. The county board has banned McEnany for 12 weeks after footage emerged from March of the squad engaged in a training session. The GAA already said to be investigating, and Monaghan say they will cooperate and comply fully. The GAA president Larry McCarthy says high profile breaches have hurt the association.
I think it's done us reputational damage, which we're going to have to work to get back. There's no, what's the word I used today, appetite for any breaches in society at the moment. So undoubtedly it has. But I mean, we'll continue to work to get that confidence and to get that back from the public again. And hopefully there won't be any more breaches.
Moving on to golf, and Rory McIlroy's par is opening four holes at the Masters. He remains on level par. Shane Lowry tees off after a quarter to six Irish time. Corey Connors, Siwoo Kim and Christian Bezuidenhout, they are the joint early leaders. They're at Augusta. They're all on two under par. John Rahm, one of the early favourites, he's on one under. World number one and defending champion Dustin Johnson, he's level par after four holes. Moving on to soccer, and Manchester United and Arsenal are in Europa League quarter-final action tonight. United, they face Granada and Spain, with Arsenal up against Slavia Prague. Both matches kick off at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, the Republic of Ireland women's team, they play Denmark in a friendly at the Tallaght Stadium this evening. It starts at 6:30. Milford's Amber Barrett will look to earn her 21st international cap tonight. Elsewhere in soccer, Dundalk have confirmed that captain Brian Gartland has suffered a torn ACL in his left knee. The defender will undergo surgery at the end of the month and is set to miss the majority of the season. And sticking with League of Ireland action, on the score tonight we'll be hearing from former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. He'll be looking ahead to the game between Finn Harps and Waterford this Saturday. Here's a clip of Declan.
It won't be an easy match. You're hopeful that a home form and the fact that Waterford haven't beaten Finn Harps and Finn Park in a long time. I'm not exactly sure. I think it might be 10 years or so. So obviously a big game for both clubs. Kevin Sheedy's come in at Waterford, I suppose, come in late, took in a lot of players as well, and they're just bedding in. Last week they come up and beat Derry as well in the Brannigan 2-1, and that's doesn't not too many teams do that. So that just shows you the quality. They're getting better. Kevin Sheedy's will do an excellent job, and he will strengthen again in July. So, but they've got a really young team. They've also got a good bit of experience as well, and they're going to be difficult to obviously overcome. But Harps are at home. Harps are in a good run of form, and they're difficult to play against, and we're hoping that we can get off to a good start again at home.
Yes, we'll hear more from Declan on tonight's show, The Score. That's looking ahead to that Finn Harps Waterford game on Saturday. We'll also hear from the Harps assistant manager, Paul Higgerty. We'll hear from the Derry City boss, Declan Devine. We'll also hear from Maxie Curran, the Donegal senior ladies manager, and Donegal jockey, Connor Orr. That's on The Score programme this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Moving on to rugby, and Eve Higgins will make her Irish debut at the centre in Saturday's Six Nations game away to Wales. Adam Griggs has named a side played for the clash at Cardiff's Arms Park. Ballybofey's Laura Feely, she's among the replacements. Finally for this evening in horse racing, Alex Ferguson's horse Clan des Oboe has won the Betway Bowl at the Aintree on the opening day of the Grand National Meeting. Jockey Harry Cobden rode to a dominant victory ahead of Clondaw Castle. Native River was third, with double national winner Tiger Roll back in fourth. It was the former Manchester United manager's third win of the day. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Emma Rose.
Thanks, Kenny. And in weather, scattered showers will move into northern parts overnight, becoming heavy at times, bringing a risk of hail and some wintry falls on higher ground. Cold tonight with lowest temperatures of minus 1 to plus 2 degrees. And the closing headlines, the 1 millionth dose of COVID-19 vaccine has been administered in Ireland today. Britain's Northern Ireland Secretary is travelling to Belfast for talks about the recent violence in the north. And serious concerns have been raised over the cross-border directive, with a significant number of people in Donegal having been affected. That's all from Highland Radio News and Sport for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Back with the headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Thursday evening, April 8th. The death has taken place at his home of Joe Horner, 63, Moyola Drive, Shantallow, Derry. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Steenstown, Derry on Saturday at 12:30 and can be viewed live via the church webcam. Interment will take place in St. Patrick's Cemetery, Iskeheen, Muff. House private pleas and funeral restricted to family only due to COVID-19 restrictions. The death has taken place of James Seamus Kelly, formerly of Kilmore Manor and 4A Ballinashallock Gardens. Due to ongoing COVID-19 restrictions, the wake and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only. The death has taken place of Frank O'Brien, Lower Dunmore, Filcara. His remains will be reposing at his late residence this evening. Funeral Mass takes place on Saturday at 11 o'clock in St Finian's Church, Filcara. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary at 9 o'clock tomorrow night in St Finian's Church. In compliance with HSC and government guidelines, the rosary wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only. It can be viewed on FilcaraParish.com. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Carton Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bernard Devlin, 16 Lake Cottages, Letterkenny, and formerly Anna Clomani. His remains are reposing at his daughter Patricia Hamilton's residence, 15 Wood Park, Lismonahan, Letterkenny, this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday, going to St Mary's Church, Clomani, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to dialysis unit at Letterkenny University Hospital. Care of any family member or Comsky Funeral Directors. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Clomani. And the death has taken place of Lucy Boyce, Chapel Glen, Clomani. Funeral will take place on Saturday at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Clomani.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. First this evening, the phased reopening of the food service sector in the UK from next Monday will increase demand for Irish beef and must translate into higher beef prices. That's according to IFA Livestock Chairman Brendan Golden. He says this is a significant development for beef sales and should help prices for farmers here. The forestry sector is going through a turbulent period at present, and there is a lot of dissatisfaction about the direction in which it's going. To find out more, I've been speaking with Inishowen-based Ross Buchanan, who is the Donegal representative on the IFA's National Forestry Committee. I began by putting it to him that compared with our European neighbours, we actually have very little forestry cover.
Yeah, that's correct. We have the second lowest in Europe after the Netherlands. We're currently sitting at just over 11%, whereas historically most of Ireland would have been covered in woodland, although would have been primordial native woodland.
Now, if we look at the farming sector, there obviously is a lot of scope for forestry in this country. So the question has to be asked, you know, why don't we have more forestry? Is it a lack of supports to get people into the sector?
Certainly the sector has struggled recently in terms of addressing applications and increasing, you know, the paper workload with doing applications and increasing restrictions on what can and can't be planted. And I think that's slowly, you know, eating away the will to plant. I mean, there are large sections of Donegal that have been written off because of what's referred to as acid sensitivity, whereby a particular OS map square has been just taken out entirely. I suppose the smaller scale of land ownership, maybe relative to some of our European neighbours, also means that individual farmers perhaps have less land and production is more important to them, you know, agricultural production. Yeah. We also don't have a strong history because our woodland resource has been gone for so long that it's almost out of mind, you know.
So tying in from that, I was reading some Chagas figures, and you know, since 1991, most tree planting has been carried out by private individuals, mostly farmers, with the assistance of grant aid, and nearly half of all forests are privately owned. We're talking about 23,000 forestry owners, but the average size of a forest is less than 10 hectares, so that ties in what you say there. In Donegal, are there many farmers who have some degree of forestry?
I think there's approximately 900 privately owned blocks of woodland in the county. I suppose most of it's planted on parcels of ground that weren't considered productive for agriculture. And, you know, some of that planting that was done is part of a legacy issue whereby, you know, it technically shouldn't have been planted. It's on, for instance, on deep peat, isn't productive, and is also, you know, releasing carbon rather than capturing carbon, and we'll probably never produce a crop.
Now, the IFA believes that certainly the state could do more to assist farmers who want to go down that road at looking at possibly planting forestry on their land.
It's a big commitment to put land under forest cover. I think that if the government want to get more landowners involved increasing the planted area, then they need to improve the initiatives that are there. But there's certainly scope for expanding the woodland network in Donegal. And there's a lot of talk about new schemes being implemented as part of the new Common Agricultural Policy. There are trials on at present in the country. For instance, the Inishowen Upland EIP that I've done some work with have been involved in planting, you know, small corners of fields as areas to shelter animals, also planting riparian buffer woodland, so to protect watercourses from any runoff or from any fertilizer or pesticide runoff from the land. It filters through the native woodland before it gets into the aquatic ecosystems.
There's been a big issue with licensing, hasn't there, around the country?
It's been a disaster. There's no other way to put it. Just to bring it into focus, I'm aware of people who have been waiting more than 2 years for felling licences that were pertaining to thinnings that should have gone ahead, and probably it's too late for them to undertake those thinnings now, so they'll just have to hold on and they'll not get the benefit of thinning. But also, you know, we're importing timber now from abroad. Timber's coming from Scotland, from Germany. Another thing that's happened this year is that Scotland has actually come in and started buying up Irish trees because they're exceeding their planting targets, and now you can't get trees in Ireland because the Scots are taking them. So we're losing on all fronts because they've been tied up due to inefficient legislation.
So what does the IFA want to see in order to resolve the issues that we have at the moment and to make it a more attractive proposition for farmers?
The initial bottleneck was where new legislation was introduced to allow anyone anywhere in the country to object to any forestry application for zero cost whatsoever. To some degree, that's been resolved. The government have brought in a fee now whereby if someone wants to appeal, they have to pay €200. At the same time, it opened Pandora's box because now any woodland application within the whole of Ireland that is within 15 kilometres of a Natura 2000 site, so that would be a special area of conservation or a special protection area, has now to be assessed by an ecologist. And that writes off the whole of Donegal. So we now require an ecological input for everything that's been done in Donegal. That burden falls on the landowners. The government need to introduce a payment to help landowners overcome any additional costs.
There are obviously different types of trees that can be planted. In terms of building materials, at least timber is one of the few renewable natural building materials that are out there. But that's a big decision for people if they're looking at forestry, because there's a big difference between planting conifers and something like an oak. So I suppose you need to get guided in the right direction. It can be a very long-term investment.
Timber is a fantastic resource. It's very carbon efficient. And also, when you consider the alternatives, be they steel, concrete, or plastics, or what have you, there's a massive carbon cost associated with producing those. So we need to get better at using timber. When you're considering trees, you have to think about what your priorities are. Are you just looking at money? Are you maybe looking at doing something for the longer term, something for nature, something for recreation? Native woodlands, we have a very low proportion of them in the country. Although I said our forest cover is sitting at 11%, we only have around about 2% native woodland cover, whereas once upon a time we had in the order of 80%. Timber can be produced using native trees like oak, but as you say, it's a longer term thing.
So in conclusion, you know, the way forward, are you reasonably upbeat if the bureaucracy can be sorted out, that more people can benefit?
More people can benefit, but it remains to be seen what policy is going to drive that. We were due to have this year a new round of grants. They haven't come out to date. Hopefully, it'll help push things on. The government had said in 2019 that they were going to plant 22 million trees per annum up until something like 2040. Actually, what happened last year was we had the lowest rate of planting in almost 50 years in the country. But I think the government need to come up with a definitive strategy as to what level of forest cover they want to achieve and for what reasons. You know, where is it going to be for timber production? Where is it going to be for biodiversity? Where is it going to be for carbon capture, for recreation? And to try and satisfy a wide range of society's needs. I really hope that we will see improvements in the sector, and I really hope that more people will achieve their objectives through forestry and will look at it as an option. I mean, it does offer a great income stream in that it's tax-free. There's limited work required on the land.
And that was Ross Buchanan, the Donegal representative on the IFA's National Forestry Committee. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The best music on your station.